Hello, this is Pastor Barry. I want to thank you for taking the opportunity to listen to our podcast. If you're a member of our church, I'm so glad you're getting the opportunity to listen. If you're listening in for the first time, we're so glad you have a chance to listen and hope you will visit us in the near future. More information is available on our website at www.newpointchurch.live. Thanks and enjoy the word God is speaking.
It says in Joel that old men will dream dreams and young men will see visions. And now that I'm dreaming, I guess that means I'm old. Much prefer the visions, but dreams are okay too. God's given me a couple of dreams lately that just have really kind of spoken to me. This one is, I believe, for the church. And in this dream, Janice and I were in this high-rise building. And this building, all of you were there. But you were all laying on tables with a sheet laying over you, and you were dressed some of you were dressed in tattered clothes, some of you weren't. And then Janice and I began dressing people in fine clothing, in gowns and tuxedos, and then we would place a coat, and on the women we would place a shawl. And then an angel appeared, and the angel said, "What are you doing?" And we said, "We're preparing the people." And the angel said, "You better hurry. There's not much time. You only have 90 days. Now, I don't know what 90 days means. I have no idea what it means. But I heard the angel said, "You only have 90 days. You need to hurry." And as we began dressing people a little more hurriedly, some people said, "No, I don't want you to dress me. I'm fine in my tattered clothes." Now, I say that in blue jeans and a shirt that's untucked and tennis shoes. And some people said, "I'm fine. I'll just remain naked." And so I'm not a spiritual dream interpreter by any stretch of the imaginations, and I always struggle with what they mean. But I think this one was pretty clear. And I went back and I looked up, what does a high-rise building represent? And in most of the online places, it says a high-rise building represents something big's going to happen in the spirit realm. And then I looked up, what does tattered clothing mean? Tattered clothing means usually an anointing that you're not walking in. And being dressed in a coat or a shawl means you're receiving the mantle of the anointing. And I believe God wants every person in this church to receive that mantle of his Holy Spirit. And then he's going to do something. I don't know what it is, but that goes along with walking in the Spirit like Lonnie was talking about. Are we walking in the Spirit? Are we putting on that mantle? Or are we putting on that anointing that God has for us? I believe so strongly that this anointing that God is pouring out in this place is just the beginning. I've seen it in many visions. I've shared them with you. By the way, that vision I had, I was a young man 2 weeks ago. Today I'm an old man. But that vision, the vision I had a couple of weeks ago, I shared it on Facebook. And it had, Janice went downstairs, I believe almost 3,000 views. That was amazing. And it went around to people in the area. Now, there were some people that were like, "Oh, these false prophets and all these things." But you know what? That's okay. Because whenever I see negative stuff, that makes me all the more believe, because what does Greg say? The devil is a liar. I was excited to see naysayers. That's all right. You be a naysayer. I don't really care. Because God is doing something in this place. Amen. I'm going to do a little shift this morning, because we've never really talked about this. So as New Point Church is a new church, we've talked a little bit, I'll sprinkle a little bit in my sermons about the government of the church. And as a what's called a 501c3 organization, which means we're a nonprofit organization, there are laws of the land that we have to follow. So there's certain things we have to do for the government to make them happy. And there are certain things that we do because we want to run the church according to the apostolic church in the book of Acts. But one of the things that I want to ask, how many of you are members of this church? We don't know, do we? Membership is something that I believe, first of all, laws of the land. We are required to have a membership roster. People who are listed on the roster and members of the church. So as members of the church, I'm going to begin an online video. One of the things that we've done in our bylaws is we've required anybody who wants to be a member has a couple of requirements. One, you have to be saved. Two, you have to ask. Pretty easy, isn't it? If you want to be a member of this church, there are a couple of more. One, we ask that you believe the same thing we believe according to our statement of faith. So I was going to do a Sunday school class. I talked to a few people, and people are busy, and they have a hard time coming to church early or whatever the case is. So I'm going to do a video on a membership class. It will be posted online. Anybody who wants to be a member can take the class. That was one of the requirements, too, is you had to take the class and decide. You don't even have to decide beforehand if you want to be a member. You can take the class, and you can understand what we're talking about. That cough is healed in Jesus' name. But we can talk about, I'll be talking about it and teaching about it. Actually, I'm probably going to recruit a couple of other people. I know we have some comedians in here, like Deb, that can make things a little more interesting because sometimes that legal, that mumbo-jumbo stuff gets a little boring. So we'll try and make it more fun. But we're going to do a video for that. Anybody here who has attended this congregation back when it was Crossroads or as New Point Church, you are going to be grandfathered in as members, which means all you have to do is say, I want to be a member, and you'll become a member. We do ask that you go through the membership course, but you don't have to. Because, you know, I know Jim, that was not a big thing with Jim and Michelle. And it's really not that big a deal, but it is. We want to know who believes like us. We want to know who's in fellowship with us. We want to know who we're putting the coat and the shawl on, that mantle of the anointing on. Because every single person in this church is called. Every single person in this church is called. And that mantle of the anointing is going to be put on you. And you're going to go out and you're going to minister. Or you may be called to minister up here and to pray for people. Or you may be called to, oh no, don't call me to teach the children. You might be called to teach the children. Or you might be called to teach the youth. You know, we have some youth in here. Some of them don't even come. Parents are here, but the kids don't come because there's nothing for the kids. That anointing is on somebody here to teach the children and to teach the kids and to teach the youth. Because that anointing needs to be passed on to them. Amen? Amen. So membership. That membership is coming. Be watching for it. I hope to have it out by January. We have a board meeting after this in which we'll be discussing it more and how we can get it out there. But we definitely want to have a membership roster, A, to be legal, and B, because we want to know who's in it with us. Amen. Amen. So last time I spoke, I don't know if you can follow along. There's a slide there that says, it's the second slide, it's the recap of authority. And we talked about the authority we have in Jesus Christ and the authority we have as believers. The first thing we said is Jesus secured our authority when he died on the cross. It's in 1 Corinthians 15:45 and Mark 16:15. Second thing, we have authority to preach the gospel. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Third, we have authority over the enemy. Let me say that one more time. We have authority over the enemy. Yeah. He has to flee. We are seated with him in high authority. Number four. Number five, we have the authority of God's word. It is written. You know, the enemy knows God's word, too. Sometimes why we have to study a little bit harder. So we can say, hey, it is written. Number six, we have authority to heal the sick. We have authority to lay hands on the sick and they are healed. We can walk from a point of authority. We can walk in that spirit, and we can walk in authority. Authority was given to us by God the Son, who was given to him by God the Father. So there's if you can find it, D, there's a little triangle in there. That's it, man. Oh, man, he's on the ball, isn't he? So this is the authority pyramid. God the Father passes to God the Son. It said, we talked about last time, that Jesus Christ has all authority on heaven and earth. And he passed it on to who? Those who believe. Who believe? Let's see if I can get anybody saved again today. To those who believe. Now I want to talk a little bit about power. And we have authority, but authority and power aren't necessarily the same thing. Authority is given to us, and power is something that we have. How do we have power? Through the Holy Spirit. So let me read a couple of scriptures to you. John 14:16 says, "And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." He's talking about the Holy Spirit, the helper. Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." You shall receive power. Man, you should all be shouting and jumping. Shall see power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you," do you know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us? Yeah. Hallelujah. That is exciting. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Now think about that. Jesus died on the cross. A terrible, horrible death. None of us could probably even begin to endure. Then he went and he died. And he went down to the pits of hell. And he defeated death. And he defeated death in the grave. And then he what? On the third day. He rose again. On the third day. The same power that rose the Jesus from the dead dwells in who? Yes. Hallelujah. And he will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit. See, it's not our flesh can do anything. It's the life he gives our mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in us. All of you have probably heard this before. A lot of you had. The word power here is the Greek word dunamis, which is where the word dynamite comes from. Dunamis is used 120 times in the New Testament. And the definition according to the Strong's Concordance says strength, power, ability, it's inherited power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. Power for performing miracles. God is going to start doing some miracles. He already has, just beginning. He is just scratching the surface, my friends. What God is going to do in this place, and it's not just this place. I've seen it in the spiritual realm. It is in this community. It is in this area. It is in this region that God is going to start moving in every church in this area. Acts 4:33 says, "And with great power," not just a little bit of power, "great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and with great grace was upon them all." Great grace. Great grace. We didn't do anything. We didn't deserve it. Nothing we did. Nothing that we're going to do. Nothing that... Jesus died on the cross. He just gave it to us freely. We didn't deserve it. And we can't do anything to deserve it. His great grace. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Spirit is given to us through gifts. It's gifted to us. He gives it to us. 1 Corinthians, and not everybody has the same giftings or powers. There's differences, right? There's differences. If we all did the same thing, it would be kind of weird, wouldn't it? But there's differences. We're a body of Christ, and every person in here has the anointing and can be given the gifts to do what God's called them to do. The power of the Holy Spirit is given to us in gifts. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to be talking more about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I'll introduce it right now. 1 Corinthians 12:8-11. For one is given the word of wisdom. How many people need the word of wisdom? I need it. So many times and so many circumstances, it's like, well, I'm not sure what to do. That word of wisdom comes in, and we know what to do. Another, the word of knowledge, through the same Spirit, to another, capital S Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, it's interesting. I know Pastor Jim used to listen to Andrew Womack, and I listened to him occasionally, and Joseph Prince and some of the other great teachers out there. And one that I've really listened to a lot is Catherine Coleman. She was a great faith healer. She had the gift of faith. And we talk about sometimes faith and, oh, I just don't have enough faith or whatever. How big does your faith have to be? The size of a mustard seed. But the gift of faith, something a little bit different. It's knowing. How many people want to know when you walk up to somebody that needs healed and say, you're healed in the name of Jesus? When Peter healed that man in the Bible, do you think he thought, well, stand up if you can. I know you might not be able to, but if you can't. No. He knew by the power of the Holy Spirit, rise up and walk. Man, that gift of faith. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. Hallelujah. We are going to see miracles in this place. Somebody in here has the gift of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. The gifts of the Spirit, He gives us the Spirit. Number three, the gifts of the Spirit. And like I said, I'm going to talk a whole lot more about what those gifts are, and we'll dive into them a little bit deeper. But right now, I kind of wanted to move on just a little bit. The gifts of the Spirit, or the power, are given for the benefit of all. Are given for the benefit of all, believers and unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. How many is in all? Four of you are part of all. Five of you. We're all part of all. It's for our benefit. The Greek word, and I'm going to mispronounce it, sumphero, is used here. It means to bring together, to bear one another's burdens, or to carry with others. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the carrying together of others, for bearing the burdens of others. I've listened to a lot of people out there. Some of them you might call false prophets. I don't know if they're false prophets or not. But one of the things that Pastor Jim, all know Pastor Jim was a prophet. And when he prophesied in love. And he knew that it was the word of the Lord that was speaking through him. The Bible says we'll know we're Christians by our love. But if we operate in the gifts and we don't have love, what does it say in 1 Corinthians 13? Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but I have no love, I become as sounding brass and clanging cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have love, I have nothing. And thou bestowest all my goods to feed the poor. And though I give my body also to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. For love suffers long and is kind. Love stays, does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own or not provoked. You know, a pastor friend of mine told me this, and I may have shared this once before. But when he said, when the fruits of the Spirit come, so do the nuts. So sometimes the nuts come with the fruit. I can tell you many a service I've been in over the years. I don't know if any of you know who Rodney Howard Brown is. Most of you do. Rodney Howard Brown is a minister. He had, I think it was called the Laughing Ministry. So when he would come and speak, the place would just burst into laughter. We had the opportunity to go to his church when we were in Florida. We actually lived about 2 minutes from Rodney Howard Brown's church. And it's a church of about 3,000-4,000 people, I believe. And he broadcasted all over the world his services. But I remember a few times he came to Bloomington, and we got to see him in person in Bloomington too. And let's just say, God bless them, there were a few nuts in the crowd. They were in it for themselves. But we're not supposed to be in it for ourselves, are we? They were in it, their flesh was manifesting itself. But you know what? We still love them. We don't, you know what? Some people say, well, let's have the devil. Well, I don't think Satan could stand in some of those services. He couldn't. When the power of the Holy Spirit moves, the enemy has to flee. He has no choice. The light of the Spirit comes in, and the enemy has to flee. The nuts can stay, but the enemy has to flee. The gifts aren't given to tear down, to humiliate, to judge. And I've seen so many people that go and think, well, it's my job. I might have shared this one time. I apologize. See, when you get old, you forget things. So I'm obviously old because I'm having dreams. So I forget things. But if I shared it once before, that's okay. I have a good friend that's a pastor in Florida. And we are still very good friends. He was raised in the Baptist church. And the church that we went to was non-denominational, but it was very based in the Baptist beliefs. And they wanted the gifts of the Spirit, but they really didn't know how to bring them about. They were completely not a grace-based church. People were great, though. We loved the people there. We love this pastor. He's still a good friend of mine. We get on Facebook every once in a while. But one of the things he said, hey, it's my job as the pastor of the church to go tell all the people what they're doing wrong. It is? Where did that come from? I think it's your job as the pastor to love everybody, not to go tell them what they're doing wrong. Greg, you can't wear your hat in church. You better take that off. No, of course not. I'll tell you another story that's really interesting. You brought your wife? Amen. Amen to that, brother. We had some really close friends when I was in the service. We got to know really, really well. And Janice and the lady, her name was Paula, and Tim, who I knew, he was in my unit. We were kind of like a kindred spirit. We became really close with each other. Now, they weren't believers. They knew we were, but they were not. And we were one time, and even after we got out of the service, we'd get together 3-4 times a year. We'd go on vacations together. We'd do things together. We were just really close friends. And we would never push Jesus on anybody. We never would say, you better get saved or else. We just loved them. Because the Bible says just love one another. And so that's what we did. And there was one I think it was a Saturday afternoon, I got a phone call from Paula. And she says, I really need to talk to you guys. And I said, what is it? She said, how do I get saved? Wow. Janice and I were on the other end of the phone jumping up and down. Yes, 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 yes. We had to be quiet. And we walked her and her husband through the sinner's prayer. And they received Jesus as their Savior. And they said, well, we don't know. Now what do we do? We need to find a church. And they were in Topeka, Kansas. So what does Janice do? She gets out the phone directory and starts flipping through every single church in Topeka, Kansas. And she called, I think, every one of them. I think she called over 100 churches in Topeka, Kansas. And they found this one church. She called and talked to the pastor. One of the few churches she actually got through the pastor. Most of the churches she couldn't even talk to the pastor. And she says, we've got these friends. They want to come to church. They're brand new Christians. But let me tell you something about Tim. He wears a cap all the time. And he wears shorts all the time. And pastor says, why would we care about that? She had talked to at least 50 other churches. Says, well, you can't wear church hat in service, and you can't wear shorts in a service. You can't wear blue jeans with your shirt untucked and tennis shoes in a service. We just are supposed to love people. They went to that church, and they loved it because they were accepted for who they are. We're supposed to love one another. Number four, I think. I'm not sure what number I'm on. We are to desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. We are to desire spiritual gifts. Or desire the best gifts. Verse 31 says, earnestly desire the best gifts. You know, sometimes when the Holy Spirit moves like he did today, I'm going to turn that clock off. I've kind of forgotten what that's on the clock. When the Holy Spirit moves, we've had, how many have had, I'm trying to say this in a way that it doesn't sound like I'm accusing anybody because I'm not. But how many have ever been someplace but wouldn't have been here because everybody here is perfect? Have been somewhere where they've gotten a prophecy and they said, where in the world did they get that from? I have. I've been somewhere and I've had somebody prophesy over me and they've told me something really bizarre about myself. And sometimes, but the Bible says, that's okay. Sometimes you'll have people that get it wrong. But we're supposed to desire prophesying. We're supposed to desire that gift. If somebody gives you something that you think is off, take it and put it on a shelf. It might be for the future. It may be that person just missed God or they were in the flesh or whatever the case is. But sometimes we feel like, oh, I can't go prophesy because, you know, what if I say the wrong thing? Or what if I say something that's wrong? The Bible says that's okay. The prophets will judge one another. Take what you get and weigh it against what the Bible says. If it's not for the time, it might be for the future. I remember one prophecy I got, and I know I've shared this one. This happened about 2012. I had a prophecy from Pastor Jim, and he says, your ministry will start at age 52. I don't know what that means. I figured I'd be in Florida somewhere, and we'd be leading worship or something like that. I'm 52 years old. I had to put that on the shelf for a little while. Hallelujah.